email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're joined in studio by child and adolescent psychotherapist Coleman Nochter. Good afternoon, Coleman.
Afternoon, Ray.
And I see you're writing there about children need shepherds, not engineers.
Yes, yeah. It's an interesting concept around parenting. You know, again, that it comes from psychologist Russell Barkley, where he talks about, like, there's over 200 qualities that we all have that are not in us, like, in terms of they're not influenced by parents. And I think parents take a huge amount of responsibility for their children and how they turn out, and kind of we invest huge amounts in children being a reflection of us. But there's so many other things going on within a child that is immune to lots of the things that we can do. So engineering is kind of it's a futile kind of exercise in that way, because we can't engineer children, but we can shepherd them and we can guide them and we can support them.
Yeah, there's a lot more involvement of modern day parents than there were years ago. There were bigger families years ago, so they probably didn't have the time to micromanage everything that their children did.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure that's altogether a good thing. You know, I think it's good that we are more involved, but I think parents can get over-involved then from the point of view of, like, again, you know, seeing our children as an extension of us and having them having to perform to a standard so that we are reflected well. I mean, we all get into that, and it's very hard to not get into that, but it creates so many problematic dynamics between the parent and the child, and also for the parent themselves. And I oftentimes think adults in general are overly involved in children's lives. I think...
Well, are parents not getting mixed messages then from the experts? You know, because, you know, like even that poem, you know, they mess us up.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
To soften it a bit. And, you know, we do pass on our neurosis and all of those things. So if children turn out badly, parents think it's their fault.
Yeah, I would have the view that parents are not always part of the problem, but they can be always part of the solution, you know, in terms of what you can do to help a child who's struggling. You know, say, for example, a child with a temperament, you know, it's very hard. You can't make a meek child rub heavy, like fiery, and you can't make a fiery child meek. You have to work with the temperament rather than against it. And so there's loads of things parents can do, but we're not responsible for everything. And I think that's maybe...
I suppose it's difficult if you are a type of person and you want your child to be that sort of person, and they are the opposite, which often happens.
100%. It's very frustrating.
Yes. You know,
100%. But I've never seen that end well. You know, I've never seen...
So that's where the shepherding comes in.
Yeah. And maybe accepting the difference is a really good step in terms of the parenting issue. You know, I've seen parents, you know, kind of driving children towards academics, if that's not, like nagging doesn't work.
Or driving kids towards sport if they're not sporty.
Yeah, and it's something I've seen more in the last number of years, is children getting overwhelmed by demands and a lot of that pressure coming from parents. And it was written to kind of get parenting off the hook. It was kind of saying, like, there's things here outside of your control, you know, and to give yourself a break
when your children
aren't turning out exactly how you wanted them to.
Okay. But it's a good conversation starter. So we said you were coming in, and people sent in queries and questions for you. Coleman, my daughter's school recently had Grandparents' Day, which is a really lovely way to celebrate grandparents. However, my dad died almost a year ago, so the day has led to my daughter asking a lot about death once again. She's increasingly concerned about my mum, her granny, dying. How do I deal with it in an honest yet age-appropriate way? She's almost 5.
Yeah, again, this has come up before. I mean, the concept of when you're hitting 5, you're starting to get your head around the idea of permanence, you know, things that are there for the change and change forever. And in much of before 5, you can redo a lot of things and you can start again. Whereas when you experience a death in the family, that is the finality. That isn't going to change and it doesn't change. And much of the kind of conversation around death is that they're not coming back. And so when children kind of get their heads around permanence, they become preoccupied, almost like a rite of passage. They oftentimes worry about dying, either dying themselves or someone close to them dying. And, you know, overcoming that fear of death is really important. You know, if you think about it, I've maybe said this before, but the fairy tales, like all Cinderella, Snow White, they've lasted through time because, and the one thing they all have in common, and Harry Potter as well, is they've no parents. So when you read a fairy tale to a child, the child hears a story of somebody who lost the most important person to them and survived despite it. And that's why they like hearing those stories over and over again, to reassure them of that. And that's them getting around their heads around permanence. Mm. So when a child like this, who's five, who's experienced death, or there's a reminder, and the Grandparents' Day would be a kind of a trigger, if you can say that, and that might trigger a lot of questions around permanency. Are you going to change? And what you can say to somebody is, you know, you can never guarantee that nothing is ever going to change, but most change can be overcome, you know. So I always say, approach parenting like you'd approach a roller coaster, almost saying, look, I don't know what's up here, this could get scary, but we're in it together, and if we huddle in, we'll get through it. Nice. So you guarantee your presence when things go wrong, as opposed to guaranteeing that things go right. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's really about consistency for this.
And it is rites of passage.
Oh, yeah.
All the children go through it.
Some kids hit it 5, 6, some 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, it lasts for a couple of weeks. They get their head around it and move on.
Yeah.
But just remind them of all the things that aren't changing.
Yeah. Coleman, my 9-year-old son finds it hard to see the positives in things, complains about friends, teachers, takes a negative attitude to things more often than not. I feel he has low self-esteem, as would say things like, I'm so dumb. Should I allow this to blow over, or should I attend a professional? Is this a normal phase for children? He has been diagnosed with DLD, which doesn't help, but he is a bright boy in general. What should I do? DLD is?
Developmental language disorder.
Right.
Yeah. It's not normal for all children, but it's normal for some children, right? And this is exactly what we talked about, temperament. You know, some people have a bit of a negative outlook on things, like even children, you know, and I oftentimes am interested by that, because it's a lot lower risk to focus on the negative than the positives. It's high risk to be optimistic, because you risk the disappointment.
You're going to be disappointed, yeah.
And I oftentimes find it that children almost, they get reassurance from things going wrong, or seeing things as going wrong. It's almost like that very Irish way of look at everything as, you know, the worst thing that can happen, and whatever happens to be a bonus, that yes. idea. But if you notice for children, say for example, you bring your kids out and you bring them for a great day and you go to an amusement park and you do all this, and then on the way home you stop for diesel and they ask for jellies and you say no and they have a meltdown, and they're kind of going, I gave you all this stuff. Like, it's almost, kids set it up that way. It's almost too perfect a day. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to go asleep on this day. I need to kind of wreck it a little bit. And it happens at Christmas as well. So for children, sometimes that negativity is safer than optimism, you know. Some children just have that temperament. So again, I would accept that.
What do you think then?
There could be issues around self-esteem. Again, but negativity and self-esteem aren't always, you know, some people are very negative, might have very high self-esteem. That makes sense. So I wouldn't make that genuine connection. I wouldn't be reaching out for counselling or therapy. Okay. I think it's very age appropriate for where he's at. I'd be keeping an eye on him, but point out the positives. When he has a good time, say, you enjoyed that, didn't you? Remember, yeah. And almost get him to catch him being optimistic.
Okay, right. Coleman, I have a 13-year-old boy, first year, happy at school. He gets frustrated with the rest of the family very quickly, verging on anger. Recently, he deals with strong flare-ups of feelings by removing himself to throw things around a bit in the bedroom, or by banging his head on a table or a wall, especially when he feels he isn't being listened to. How serious is the head banging? I think he exhibits mild spectrum traits, but GPs and teachers haven't considered him to be at the assessment threshold.
Yeah, head banging is a concerning symptom. You know,
yes.
But look at the behaviour as a signpost to a problem as opposed to the problem. So it's frustration here. This is emotional dysregulation. So he's really struggling to emotionally regulate. I think it's interesting she says that he's good at school and when he comes home. I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. And like, kind of schools get the best of our kids sometimes because they're holding it together. And I use the expression that they gather up all this emotional rubbish and jam it in their pockets over the day. And when they get home, they just have to let it
loose.
Out. And yeah. I've had so many parents say, oh, street angel, house devil. Yeah. You know, they're describing kids. There's a very good reason for that. If you're trying to manage peer relationships, you're trying to manage academics, you're trying to manage the stress of being a 13-year-old first year, it's hugely stressing. You're holding it all together.
Going through puberty.
Oh, the biological surges, all that sort of stuff. And then you get home and you just have to let that out. And again, I would... The
head banging does sound serious.
That's not a good coping strategy. You know, so I would be encouraging him to do anything else. It's trying to give him language to verbalise what it is that he's frustrated about. It's not unusual that they take it out on siblings and they take it out on you, and almost... in some ways we have to absorb a little bit of that, but within reason. And here it's about acknowledging his upset, but not kind of colluding with headbanging being a good way to manage that emotional dysregulation, right, if that makes sense.
So how would you broach it then?
I think you try and give him language for how he feels.
Give us an example.
So when language fails, behaviour takes over. So if I don't have the words for something, I'll... and I'll hit something and I'll bang something.
So do you talk to me about going through puberty and being in first year and all of that, all of those things that you mentioned?
Yeah, there? I'd acknowledge that they're all struggles and give him words for frustration and for pressure and for expectation and try and talk to him about ways in which we can manage that. Like one of the
Because it is a major point in being a human.
Oh, it is. And one of the things that's interesting, Ray, is that there's loads of research that backs up that listening to music is a brilliant way of managing your emotions.
Okay.
And I don't see as many teenagers listening to a rock album or, you know, like maybe I or you did.
Yes.
And it's a really effective way of regulating your emotion. And again, it'd be pointing to something like that rather than using a wall.
Good advice. Coleman, thanks so much. We'll see you again soon. That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.